The Baptist Bible Hour now comes to you under the direction of Elder Lasaire Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
This is Lasaire Bradley, Jr., inviting you to stay tuned for another message of God's sovereign grace. I'm thankful for the opportunity to bring messages from God's Word on all these stations carrying this Baptist Bible Hour broadcast. If you want us to continue in your area, we need to hear from you. We need support from those who are concerned to see this work carried on. Our address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. We continue today the message entitled, My Times Are in Thy Hand. The text is Psalm 31:15. An old hymn written back in the 1700s expresses it like this. Sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise, all my times are in thy hand, all events at thy command. His decree, who formed the earth, fixed my first and second birth, parents, native place, and time, all appointed were by Him. times of sickness, times of health, times of penury and wealth, times of trial and of grief, time of triumph and relief. Plagues and death around me fly, till he bids I cannot die. Not a single shaft can hit, till the God of love sees fit.
Paul and Silas didn't have any idea when they first were put in prison. We want to be out spreading the gospel. We want to be out laboring every day. Here we are in prison. But they began to sing praises to God. And at midnight when the earthquake came and the jailer comes in and says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" "And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house." They didn't know why they were in jail, but there was one of God's chosen ones down there that needed the good news of the gospel. And God used their experience to be a blessing to him. We love to sing William Cooper's hymn, "God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable mines of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will." We cannot see. Can't see what lies ahead. But we're in his hand. And we consider how many ways he cares for us. What better place could you be? You may say, I'm uncomfortable with my circumstances right now. I'm apprehensive about the future. I don't know what's going to happen to my job. I don't know what's going to happen to this country. Just everything seems to be falling apart. But if you can say with David, "My times are in thy hand," where could you be and be any better off? The most secure place of all. Think of the various ways in which God speaks of sustaining his people in these unique ways. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27. "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." So on one hand, we can say, "My times are in his hand." Underneath are the everlasting arms. You begin to sink. You sink in your feeling. You feel you're sinking in the mire where there is no standing, as David said. But underneath, no matter how low you may be in your feelings and how you feel that you have sunk, underneath are the everlasting arms. And then in Psalm 91, verse 4, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday." Now, isn't that a unique way that God has presented to us comforting words about his care for us, that he shall cover you with his feathers? God doesn't literally have feathers, but he's describing this in a way to give us consolation of his overall sheltering protection of us. "Under his wings shalt thou trust." All of these terms, very unique, very endearing, helping us to feel a closeness with God. That he's not just at a distance, well, in heaven, he's near us, and we are in his hand, and he is sheltering us. And then in Psalm 103, verse 13, it says, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." A father dearly loves his children. He's keenly aware of their weaknesses. He still loves them when they're faltering and failing. And so it is that like an earthly father would pity his children, our heavenly Father has pity upon us, remembers our frame that we are but dust. And then in the book of Isaiah, we find another picture painted. Chapter 49, verse 15. "Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? yea, they may forget. Now you think about a mother nursing her baby. A beautiful picture of that little baby, so dependent upon its mother for everything. And that mother that has given birth to that child, loving it dearly, being willing to do anything necessary to protect it. It's hard to imagine that a mother would leave, neglect, turn away from her nursing child. But God says, they may forget, but yet I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee on the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. So just as much as a mother would lovingly, tenderly, gently care for her nursing baby, God cares for his people, and their names are written upon his hands. And then we find it again. John chapter 10, verse 28, the words of Jesus, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So yes, we can say, my times are in thy hand. Being in the hand of the Father, and he says, I am the Father of one. Being in the hand of the Father, in the hand of the Son, secure, nothing can pluck us out. We have no cause for alarm. We have no reason for fear. No excuse for anxiety. We're trusting in him. And then furthermore, considering this truth brings contentment when we're prone to complain. Our nature is somewhat inclined to be discontented. The Israelites complained continually while they were in the wilderness. And you can be discontent because you think others are prospering and you are not. So there's a spirit of envy and jealousy that enters into it. Or somebody said, well, I think I could be content if I just had this. If I just had this job or this much money or could go on this trip. Not understanding that if they haven't learned to be content where they are, they're not going to be content if they were somewhere else. Somebody might complain today and say, well, my whole life has been disrupted by this coronavirus. My school plans are totally messed up. My vacation plans are ruined. I don't get to play sports or even watch sports. Oh, you see, maybe there's a lesson to learn in this time. That some of those things that had seemed so important and so much a part of life don't deserve the place that they had occupied. And we need to find our contentment, not in material things, not in the circumstances of life, but in God himself. What a difference to say, my times are in thy hands. All my times, my good times, my bad times, my times of prosperity, my times of loss, my times of sadness, my times of joy, my times of the present, my time today, my time tomorrow, my time in the future. It's all in his hands. Contentment comes when we surrender ourselves to the will of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In this psalm, David said in Psalm 31, verse 5, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Into thy I commit myself. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. And then the Apostle Paul talks about contentment in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. For I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. He said, I have learned. It wasn't his natural instinct any more than it was with any of us. But I've learned to be content. I've learned contentment because I'm finding my joy, my strength, my hope, my courage in the Lord. My times are in thy hands. But another important lesson to draw from this text, to be able to say my times are in thy hands, gives us reason to do what needs to be done. Trusting God does not relieve us from our duties. You pray for daily bread, and that's something you should do, but you still go to work. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord." Believe in the sovereignty of God. Never, never is an excuse for slothfulness, for laziness, for indifference. Whatever you do, if it's a noble task, if it's a work that needs to be done, whatever you do, do it with heartily as to the Lord, not as unto men. Know that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. How important to remember that. That whether it's a young person in school, whether it's a man at work on his job, whether it's a mother caring for things at home, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God and know that you're serving him. Farmer plants the seed, but he's dependent on the Lord to send the rain. The book of Proverbs described a man who was slothful. He had a field. There was a wall around it. At one time, somebody cared for this field, but now it's grown over with briars and nettles. He couldn't sit there looking at the empty field and expect that he was going to be able to reap a crop. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 7. In the morning, sow thy seed, and in the evening, withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether it shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both be alike good. So if a man's going to have a harvest, he's got to sow the seed. If he's going to have a crop, he's got to work in the field. Be able to say, my times are in thy hand. I'm putting the seed in the ground. I'm praying God will send the rain that's needed. I'm trusting him. I'm praying for his blessing, but I'm recognizing my responsibility in the matter. You believe that God will care for you. You claim his promises, but you pray. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, Jesus taught us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. We ought to pray that. He's taught us to pray for that. What does that mean? All right, I'm just going to not be concerned about going to work. I'll just pray that God will have groceries delivered. Obviously not. We've just read that whatever we're required to do, we're to do it with all of our might, diligently. At the same time, you can have the confidence that God will provide, right? In the same chapter, in the same discourse where Jesus is delivering the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. Now somebody might say, that seems to be contradictory. He said, take no thought for it, and yet he says, pray about it. When he says, take no thought, he's simply saying, don't worry about it. It's not something that you would be concerned and full of anxiety regarding it. You're trusting God, but you are praying. God would have us to pray for those things that we have need of. There's work to be done, even in this time of crisis. Although we're restricted by regulations, although we're to avoid being close to other people, try to stay 6 feet apart, we can still pray for each other. You can pray for our church, for the leaders of our nation, for all that are in need the whole world over. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, the Apostle Paul writes, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, many times we make excuses about things that we know we should have done and we didn't get done because there were just too many things in the way. Well, now, a good part of your schedule may be opening up right now that you can do some of those things that you haven't been able to do or thought you couldn't do in the past. How good it would be if every member of this church would give themselves to spend more time in prayer. Pray for the circulation of the gospel as it goes out from this church, as it's preached in this country, as it's circulated around the world. Praying for all saints, wherever they are, whatever their circumstances. We can still communicate with each other. You can call people on the telephone, send an email or a text or some way, sending a word of encouragement. Don't want to just shelter in place and forget that you're part of a church. Church is a body. It's a called out body. And as a part of it, you want to be mindful of the needs and circumstances of others. If there's material needs that need to be addressed, that those are handled. But above all, thinking of the spiritual needs and how we need to encourage one another. And then to be able to say, my times are in thy hand, gives us hope for the future. None of us know the details of what is out before us. In fact, isn't it gracious that the Lord has hidden from us all of the details of life that might be out ahead? Sufficient for the day are the troubles thereof. If you had to think about every pain, every ache, every trouble, every disappointment you would ever encounter and carry that all at once, it'd be too much. So you don't know. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I get rather provoked when I hear some of these reporters questioning our leaders and saying, well, when do you think this will be over? Nobody knows that. How many people do you think are going to die? Nobody knows that. You know, it's just a fact. To wake up and face the reality of life. We don't know what tomorrow may bring forth. James chapter 4, verse 13 says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. I don't think it's required that that statement be made every time, but that's certainly to be our outlook. Here's what I hope to do, but it's in God's hands. If the Lord wills, we shall do this or that. So we don't know what the future holds. We don't know how long it'll be before we can come back and assemble together here in this church building. We don't know how many people will be sick. We don't know how many people will die in the state of Ohio. We don't know what will happen to any of us individually. But we can know this. My times are in thy hand. Whatever the future holds, it's not left to luck. It's not left to chance. It's not left to fate. It's in his hands. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 2 tells us that there is a time to be born and there's a time to die, and God is still in control. And so as we think of the future, we can say, my times are in thy hand. We can know this. When it comes that time to die, we won't be alone. Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Think about death. It's a homegoing for the child of God. And whenever that hour comes, we don't know the time, we don't know how we're going to die, we don't know the circumstances surrounding it, but we can know this, my times are in thy hand. So somebody might say, well, all right, if the Lord's going to go with me through the valley of the shadow of death, what's on the other side? Well, we can't know that. Look at the book of Revelation, chapter 7, beginning with the 9th verse. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand, palms of victory. They're triumphant. It's a glorious time. And cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell down before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. That sounds like a happy event, don't you think? You want to know the future? Here's the future for the child of God. Here's the heaven he's going to one day inhabit. Verse 13, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these that are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. Can you think of any happier place to be than in the temple of God, serving him day and night, to be able to serve in the very presence of the Lord God of heaven? And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Verse 16, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light upon them, nor any heat, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Isn't that great? Isn't that a wonderful thing to anticipate? Yes, we can say, I do know something about the future. I know when I do come to die, I'm not going to be alone because he's going to be with me. And I know what's going to be on the other side. It's going to be a glorious time in the presence of Jesus Christ to lift up that triumphant chorus and sing his praise forever. These words of our text can make a big difference in your life. Make a big difference about how you think about the coronavirus. Yes, gives peace in a troubled world, provides comfort in the midst of our trials. It brings contentment even when we're tempted to complain. It gives you reason to do what needs to be done so that you're not complacent and indifferent, and it gives you hope for the future. My times are in thy hand.
Praise to the Lord.
Yes, to keep constantly in our minds and upon our heart the truth, my times are in thy hand, gives us peace in a troubled world, gives us a totally different outlook in this time when many are gripped with fear, full of anxiety, but we can find peace, courage, and hope in trusting in the Lord our God. I hope that you will write us, and until next week at this same time, may the Lord richly bless you all.
The Baptist Bible Hour has come to you under the direction of Elder Lasair Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church. Address all mail to the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. That's the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217.